All right. So tonight we're on Shabbos stuff Ayin Vav. Shabbos stuff Ayin Vav. All right, let's take a look. All right. So I'm going to begin from the Mishnah on Ayin Vav Amud Aleph, 76a, around the sixth, the fifth line from the top. Everybody have it? All right. I don't know. 1 second, I'm getting some emails. 1 second. Okay, so Manitin, Hamotzi Tevin Kimlo Pipara. We said that when it comes to Tzah and Shabbos, so you have to carry something which people are machshiv, an amount that they consider significant. So so when it comes to human food, the shear is a grogeret, like a dried fig. That's the shear by human food. So now we're going to talk about some animal food. So the Mishnah says, Hamotzi Tevin Kimlo Pipara. So Tevin is processed straw. If you remember in Parshat Shmod, it says Lekoshesh Kash LeTevin, that they would convert the kash, which is unprocessed straw, into processed straw. In other words, they break it up and then it becomes smaller pieces. So it's like sort of like bite-sized pieces that you could eat, or an animal could eat. Amotzi Tevin Kimlo Pipara. So if a person takes the processed straw enough for a mouthful for a cow, he says, that's the shear for hotzah, because that's what straw is used. That's what cows eat. He says, Eitza kimlo pi gamal. Eitza, we don't know what Eitza is, but the Gemara is going to explain. It means like the straw of different types of beans. In other words, it's like a stalk for different types of beans. So Eitza kimlo pi gamal. So that's eaten by the gamal. The gamal is the camel, and the camel's mouth is larger than the cow's mouth. So if he... So that would be that shear. It's the larger shear. Amir kimlo pitle. Amir is also some other type of straw. It's a softer straw, and that's like the size of a lamb's mouth. And then asabim kimlo pigdi. Asabim are grass, and that's like the size of a kid's mouth. And the kid's mouth. I'm sorry that Shai is not here tonight, but the kid's mouth is the smallest mouth. Now alei shum v'alei betzalim. If a person brings out leaves of garlic and leaves of onions, so it means like when you have the onion in the ground, you all have seen the bulb. But in other words, that's the part that we eat. Then it has sort of like this greenish stuff that sticks above ground. So those are the leaves of the garlic, leaves of the onions. Lachim, if they're moist, so then it's fit for human food. A human would eat that. So that's kigrogeret. That's our shear of grogeret, the size of a dried fig. That's the amount to be mechayev. Yiveishim, if they're dried out, now it's no longer human food because humans wouldn't eat the dry leaves typically. Yiveishim kimlo pigdi, that would be the size of a pigdi of the kid's mouth, the animal kid, of course. Okay, now the Gemara says ve'ein mitztarfin zeimze neishlo shavu shirehen, that these different types of food or animal food or human food can't be combined with one another because they have different shiurim. So the Gemara is going to explain that they can't combine for the more chamor shiur. In other words, let's say you have in the beginning of the Mishnah, it says tevin is kimlo pi para. Straw is like the size of the cow's mouth. That's one size. And then eitza is kimlo pi gamal. That's a bigger size. So the pi gamal is the kula. And the pich para is the chumer, right? The lesser size is a stringency by Shabbos. So let's say I have an amount of tevin and an amount of eitza, which we said is like the straw from the different types of beans. And there's not enough for pich gamal. There's not enough eitza for pich gamal. There's not enough tevin for pich para. And now I combine them together. So they can't combine for the more stringent shear, which would be pich para, but they could combine together for pi gamal, which is the more lenient shear. So we'll see in the Gemara, we'll discuss it in a bit. Now, just 1 second, let me see if there's anything else I want to say on this. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? Everybody good? All right, let me move on then. Okay, so now we're in the Gemara 9, Vav Amud Aleph, 76a. So the Gemara says, my Eitzah. The Gemara itself asks, what's Eitzah? So I told you already what this was. The Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda, Tevin, Shalmine, Kitni. It's the straw of different types of beans. And again, we're kind of, I think, generally in our own experience, I think, or pretty removed from all this agriculture, But the beans apparently grow with stalks, and there's also a type of straw with the bean, and that's what the eitzah is, and that's camel food. Okay, Kiyata Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar. So he said, he brings, Rav Dimi is going from Eretz Yisrael to Babel. So Rav Dimi arrives in Babel, and he says, here's the latest. He says, Amar, Hamotzi Tevin Kimlo Pipar Legamal. Now, he's mixing and matching. Now, this is a little different than the case I was discussing. He's taking the shear of Tevin, which is the processed straw, and it's Kimlo Pipara. He's taking out the size for a mouthful, like for a cow, but he says legamal, but he's bringing it out for a camel. So in other words, he's taking out the shear, the cow food, he's taking out a shear for the cow, but he's bringing it for an intent to feed it to the gamal, to the camel. He says, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayev. Rabbi Yochanan says he's Chayev. He took out the shear for a hotzah with that. Rabbi Shimon Lakish Amar Patur. Rish Lakish says he's Patur. Okay, that's what. So, Be'orta Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. In the evening, that's the way Rabbi Yochanan said the halacha. And this is again the way that Rabbi Dimi is reporting. But Safra, the next morning, Hadarbe. Then he retracted his position. So, I says, right. So Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef said, so it means he retracted his position, and in the morning he agrees with Reish Lakish that he's patur, that he's off the hook. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef Shapir Abba Dahadar. So Rav Yosef said, you know, you're a good gerecht. In other words, he got a good gerecht. He said the right thing. He says, Dahadar, Dalo Chazi Legamal, because that amount of that food isn't ra'ui for the camel. The camel can't eat that food. So it doesn't make any sense that he should be chayev for being motzi pipara. That's what he said. Now, just 1 minute, then we'll see. Okay, so here, let's look at the Rashi on that. See, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Patur, everybody with me? It's around the midway down the narrow columns. The halagamal, the chazile, like a shira. In other words, for the camel, it's ra'ui for the camel, but it's not the right shear. That Rashi goes later on. Let's skip it. Okay, now, so back in the Gemara. So Amar Le Abaye. So Abaye says to Rabbi Yosef, and again, we know Abaye was the Talmud of Rabbi Yosef. So Amar Le Abaye. Abaye says to Rabbi Yosef, Ad Rabba Kidmi Kara Mistabra. He says, I think it punk for care. I think it's more logical the way Rabbi Yochanan said initially, that you're chayiv, you take out Tevin, Kimlo Pipara, that's it. That's the halacha. Your chai fro tsa'a. The hachazi the para. Since he's taking out an amount that would be ru'i for a cow, so regardless of what his intent is to give it to the camel, that's chai fro tsa'a. So the Gemara says, the Gemara is toe-faced. The Gemara takes, you know, adheres to Abayi's Svara, Elakiyat Ravin Amar. So this frequently is in the Gemara. You have Rav Dimi comes from Eretz Israel, and he frequently reports a statement of Rabbi Yochanan. And then you frequently have Ravin also comes from Eretz Israel, also reporting on a statement of Rabbi Yochanan. So now Ravin comes from Eretz Israel, and he said, Hamotzi Tevin Kimlo Pipara Legamal, if a person takes the cow's mouthful of Tevin, but he's bringing it out for a camel, the Kuli Amal lo plihi the Chayev. Everybody agrees that he's Chayev. So the way the second version is Rabin is saying, everybody agreed that you're Chayev in that case. Ki plihi motzi eitza kimlo pipara lapara. The machloket is, if he takes eitza is this food, the bean stalks, which is normally only eaten by the camel. But he takes the beans, the bean straw, he takes out the bean straw, and he's taking pipara, the size of a cow's mouth, and he's bringing it for a cow. V'ipcha itmar, it was said just the opposite, meaning in the first version, Rabbi Yochanan was more machmir, chayev, and Reish Lakish patur. So here, the way that Ravin is reporting, it was just the opposite way around. Rabbi Yochanan amar patur, Rabbi Yochanan says he's patur if he takes out this eitza, which is this the bean straw for the, and it's in the shear for the mouthful of a cow. He's patur from otzah, and patur means, as you know, usually patur of alasur. Not that he's got a green light to carry it, but he's not chayav a korban chatat if he would do it. Reish Lakish amar chayav. Rabbi Yochanan amar patur achila yidachak lashma achila. Meaning, a cow would normally, like let's say I put A hamburger in front of a cow. So a cow's a herbivore. It's not going to eat the hamburger, right? So it can be hungry, but it's never going to eat a hamburger. So here with the bean straw, the cow typically does not eat that. You know, if he's starving to death, he'll eat it. If it's not, the cock, he'll go for it. But that's not really what he normally would typically eat. So he says, so Rabbi Yochanan holds, achila de the cock lashma achila. The fact that the cow would eat it in a difficult situation, we don't call that achila, and it doesn't mean that you should be chayev for the shear of for the mouthful of the cow. Reish Lakish amar achayev achila de the cock shma achila. Reish Lakish says no, since in some situations he would do it, so he's chayev. Now it's time for a Rashi. Let's go back to the Rashi that we did before. Rabbi Yochanan amar patur. This is with the eitza, which is the bean straw. He says the halagamal the chazilei like a shira, so the bean straw is ruwi for a camel. He's got camel food, but he doesn't have the right shear for the camel, right? Because the mouthful for the cow is smaller than the mouthful for the camel. He says ve'im yishum zlatzorach parahotzio, and he'll say, well, he took it out for the cow ulagaba ikashir, and he has the right shear for the cow. He says achila de'dechak lav achilahi, but that which he's going to eat, like out of necessity, you know, he's starving, there's no other food, he'll go for it. That's not called achila. Hilkach lo masharin leba para. So we don't evaluate it with the para, with the sarves for the cow. Okay, any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did? Everybody good? Everybody good? All right, I'm moving on then. Anybody want to say anything? All right. Arthur, I can't see your face so well, Arthur. I only see the top of your forehead. Okay. And let's see, Yosef, all I see is like the steering wheel. I see your hand. Okay, we got a hand there. Okay, there we are, Yosef. Okay, all right, we're good. David, we're still working on a picture for you, David. We're getting better. Went from black to at least color. All right, let's go further. Now, all right, let's see. Okay, we're 10 lines from the bottom on Ayin Vav Mem Aleph. 10 lines from the bottom on 76A. Everybody with me? Okay. Amir kimlo pitle. So now the Mishnah said, it's quoting from the Mishnah, Amir is also a type of straw. It's like a soft straw. And somebody unmuted themselves. One second. We got to remute you. All right. So we said if a person takes out this soft straw, so if it's the size of a mouth of a lamb, that's the shear, because that's lamb food. So he's taking out lamb food. Lamb food is the size of a mouth of a lamb. Vatanya kigro garet. So the Gemara says, but in the Brisa we learn that the amir, the shear for the amir, is kigro garet. Garet is a dried fig. So how do we reconcile? Our Mishnah says kimlo pitle, like the size of a lamb. And the Brisa says, like, it's gro garet. So edi vidi chachur. The Gemara says that's the same shear. In other words, a lamb's mouth doesn't sound like a very large mouth. I'm not so expert on the lamb's mouth, but the lamb's mouth is the size of a dried fig. A dried fig. It doesn't sound like very big. Let's take a look at Tosfos on that. Okay, everybody in the Tosfos. So idi v'idi chad shiurahum. He says now v'hadanaka manitin kimlo pitle. So Tosfos is bothered. Why does the Tana Mishnah even bother kimlo pitle? The size of a grogeret is well known to everybody. Kimlo pitle is a little bit more obscure. So, well, if the mlo pitle is the size of a grogeret, why don't we just say kigrogeret? Why does the Tana go in and saying it's kimlo pitle? He says below nakat kigrogeret lashwinan to be shum achila tle not nubo chachamim shir ze. In other words, the Tana wants to tell me, you know, or wants me to infer that the reason that that's the shear is because it's the size of the mouth of the lamb. That's the key. In other words, that's the chashiva. So I'm taking out amount of lamb food that's enough for the mouth of a lamb. That's what's chashiv. If I just say kigro geret, I might not know where that shear came from. He says, "Dei naka kigro geret lo haviyadina lamanenu bo chachamim shear ze." I wouldn't know why the chachamim gave that shear. All right.
Aren't all shearim halachal Moshe Mitzinai?
Well, usually we do say that. Yeah, it could be. It's possible that it is halachah Moshe Mitzinai, but Tosfos means why the Chachamim, you know, gave it, referred to it as kimlo pitle, you know, like that. In other words, it could be the Shirim or Mitzinai, But the why the Chachamim referred to it as Kimlo Pithle instead of Kikro Garrett, even though it's the same shear. It could be. I have to look into a little bit more with that. All right, let's take a look back further in the Gemara. All right, we're 10 lines from the bottom. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Everybody good? All right. Let's see. Now, Aleishon Balebet Salim, we said if a person takes out garlic leaves or onion leaves, so lachim, if they're fresh, that's kigro geret, because that's human food. So the shear for human food is kigro geret. Yiveishim, if they're dried out, viveishim, kimelo piagdi, if they're dried out, then it's the size of a kid, obviously mean animal kid. But emitz tarfim zemze, the different shiurim of different items mentioned in the Mishnah can't be mitztari, can't join with one another. Because if I don't have enough of a shear this, I don't have enough shear that, I can't combine two to get a shear. He says, mipnei shlo shavu b'shir rein, because they each have a different shear. So I can't, it's like apples and oranges. That's what lechora we think that the Mishnah is saying. So the Gemara says, Amar b'yosi bar chanina, ein mitztarfin lechamur shebehen, av mitztarfin lekal shebehen. So b'yosi bar chanina says, then again, let's say I have two shiurim. I said this a little while ago, we'll just repeat. So let's say in the first line in the Mishnah says, Hamotzi teven kimlo pipara. If a person takes out processed straw the size of a cow's mouth, that's one shear. And then it says, Eitza, which is the bean straw, kimlo pigamal, like the size of the camel's mouth. The camel's mouth is larger than the cow's mouth. So let's say I don't have the shear of either one. Let's say I don't have the shear of either one. Let's say I have, three quarters of tevin, and I got of pipara, and I have three quarters of eitza, like kimlo pigamo. So now I carry them both out on Shabbos. So where am I holding with this whole thing? So what the Gemara is saying is the two can't combine to create a more chamor shear. In other words, the more stringent shear is the lesser shear. In this case, that's pipara, the cow's mouth. The cow's mouth is the smaller of the two shiurim. But the two could combine to, if there are sufficient of it, to create pigamal, because that's the more lenient. In other words, they're not going to give you a green light in self-kosof, you're carrying out like the right shear. So then you would be chayev. All right, now, let's see. Let's see back on the Gemara. Now, so the Gemara says, V'chod lo shav b'shi raihu mi mitztarfin. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? If things are not the same shear, there's a limitation on their ability to combine with one another? Because that's what our Mishnah says, that they can't combine across the board because they have different shiurim. So he says, V'hatnan, we learn in the Mishnah, this is the Mishnah, Masechet Kelim. Now, again, this we've had before in Daf Yomi, and just the review. And the essence of learning is always review, but eventually you get everything in Daf Yomi, and then you get it, and you get it again, and again, and again, and again, and then hopefully everybody gets it. So we said that there are certain types of Tamei people, specifically the Zava, the Nid, and the Yoledet. The Zava and the Zava are men and women who have a certain type of mission, and then the Yoledet is the one who gave birth, and the Nida is a woman, you know, who has her regular cycle. So they're all Tameim. They're all avatuma. Now, typically, a person who's tamei, when he touches something, the object he touches goes down one notch. So if they touch something, we would expect it to become a rishon l'tuma. But there's a type of tuma called tumat midras. Tumat midras is when any of these people, the zav, the nidu, yoledet, they sit on something, right? And it's something that's designated as a seat, or they lie on something designated for lying purposes. So the object that they sit on or lie on gets the same level of tumah as they do, meaning that that's an ava tumah. So that if now the nida gets off of it, and then I touch the mattress or whatever she was lying on, so now I become tamei because that's an ava tumah. Okay, that's tumas midras. So let's see back in the Mishnah now. Batan, this Mishnah is Masechet Kelim. We're five lines from the bottom, and I in Vavam and Aleph 76a. Shaya, nice to see you. Where were you when I needed you, Shaya? We had animal questions. Okay, so I in Vavam and Aleph 76a. So he says, Batan, we learn in the Mishnah, Habeged Shlosha Shlosha. What is the minimum shear for tumas midras? So the Gemara says if it's a beged would mean, let's say wool, a wool garment, three tefachim by three tefachim is the minimum shear. Vahasak, sackcloth, we know is from goat hair, That's Arba, four tfachim by four tfachim. Vasak Arba Arba. Or if it's leather, chamisha al chamisha. If it's leather, five tfachim by five tfachim. Ma'pats is a mat made out of reeds that's shisha al shisha, six tfachim by six tfachim. Those are the minimum shiurim for those items, for Tumas Midras. But Tani Allah, we learn in the Brisa, which relates to that Mishnah, Habeged Vasak, Vasak Va'or, Ha'or Va'mapats, Mitztarfin Zemzeh, that all of those items can combine one with another without limitation. They can each combine with the other one. So the Amr Rav Shimon Matam, Rav Shimon says, why can they all combine with one another, mixing and matching? Because they can combine with one another, because we see that in life there is a situation, sometimes where I will combine them. If a person wants to, needs a patch for his saddle, so he might take like a little bit of a patch from a baguette, a little patch from a sock, and combine them together and do it. So since we see in the universe of life that these things are sometimes combined, so mela, then they can combine for tuma purposes as well. He says, tama d'ruin li tama moshav. So therefore it's been tama moshav. Aval emru li tama moshav lo. In other words, if the idea is, give me one second. Because they're fit to become tamei through sitting. That's the way it goes on. So the reason is because they're fit to become tamei through sitting. Aval ein ruli tamei moshav. If they weren't fit to become, then they couldn't combine. So why is it that we permit the different types of feed to combine in our Mishnah? So again, let me go back. So in other words, the question of the Gemara is, why am I allowed to even combine different types? In other words, we said in the Gemara that there is time when I can combine the different types of food, animal food, and I eventually come up with the right shear. So the Gemara is saying, why should I be able to combine these different types of animal food? In other words, by tuma, I see that there is, you know, there is a situation in life where I would combine them. So therefore, we can extend that for the dinim of tuma. We can, in other words, since I see a person would make a patch on his saddle, you know, and the patch would be a little bit of a beged and a little bit of a sock, so they can combine. So therefore, they can combine by tuma. But by these animal foods, like every animal has its own food, like its own dinner, so to speak, and they're normally not combined. So why am I allowed to combine it for the different shirim? So Amar Rava, and that's the way Rashi learns. So Amar Rava, the top line on Ayin Vav Beis, Hachanami Chazi L'dugma. So Rava says, look, sometimes they are combined, and Rashi says that if a person is a storekeeper and he wants to advertise his wares, so he'll combine all the different types of food and put it in a pile in the window of his store so people could see that he's got everything in stock. And he doesn't want to keep them in separate piles because he doesn't want them to blow away. Let's look at Rashi on this. He says the top line, the dugma, sample, the top line of Rashi, Mishesh Lolim Kor, if a person has these different types of food, the straw, you know, this straw, that straw, the other straw, he says, Sober Mikulan, he makes a pile of all of them. He puts it in front of his window. And again, the window doesn't have to be with a, like we're used to windows with glass. It doesn't have to be that glass. It could just be like a hole in the wall. He says, Laharot sheyesh lo lemkor mikulan. So by putting it in the window, he's showing, I'm in stock. I got everything in stock. He says, V'nichale shuhu mechu barin yachad. And he prefers that they should all be together. He says, Da'aydi dezutri, because when it's a small pile, so the wind will blow it away. If you've got a big pile, it'll have some kayama. So the idea is that there are circumstances in which we can combine all these different types of food to write the right shear for a hotzah. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? Everybody good?
Yeah, I don't understand something. Good. Yeah. Someone else can go.
No, you're on, Michael.
Oh. So this is what I don't understand. If I have a shear, this is a shear for hotzah. Right. Why does it depend on what animal I'm feeding for the shear? If this shear is, let's say, gregarious, so why does it matter which animal I'm feeding? And let's say I have several animals.
All right. So we said in the Maskana, it doesn't matter which animal. In other words,
I'm trying to understand the Machlokas, Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish.
Okay. So that's good. So the Gemara says, let's each food is good for one animal. It's usually not good for the other animal. So let's say I take camel food And the camel food is a large shear, but I take the camel food, I'll call it camel food to make it simple. I take the camel food out, but I have a smaller shear. I have the shear for the cow. So the question is, am I chayav for hotzah? Because I took camel food, which I want to feed to my cow. So am I chayav for that hotzah or not? So again, I'm only, so Rabbi Yochanan says, I'm patur, because he, in other words, in order to be chayav, it has to be a davar chashuv, a significant amount. And here, Rabbi Yochanan says the cow will only eat it if it's in a pinch. If he's got no other food and he's starving, he'll eat it. Otherwise, he won't eat it. So he doesn't consider that to be achila al-yidei dechak, lashma achila. That he doesn't consider to be achila. So where he says patur, Rish Lakish says, no, achila yidei dechak, we call it achila also. And taka, if you carry it for the cow, then Rish Lakish says, then you're going to be chayav. Does that help you? Michael, you okay or not?
What if I don't carry it for any animal?
You okay?
It's not. No. What if I haven't? You can't hear me? You don't hear me?
I can hear you. Anyways, I hear you now. I hear you.
You can hear me. So, okay. So, no, I don't understand. Let's say I'm not feeding an animal. I have it in my pocket. I use it to clean my shoes. I use it for something else. Okay?
Right.
But I have the shear.
It means like this, that the typical usage of these items is, in other words, the primary purpose of these items is for feeding animals. It's like, you know, animal food, cat food, dog food. That's the primary purpose. That's what everybody associates it with. So the shear is the amount that you carry. So you take out that amount and it's enough to feed. If it's cow food, you take out the cow food shear, you're chayiv. Camel food, you're chayiv for that, for the camel shear. The lamb food, you're chayiv for the lamb shear. That's all the Gemara is saying.
No, but wait a minute. What Michael is saying is, what if you're carrying it out for no purpose involving an animal?
Yeah. So this will get us into the topic that we spoke about yesterday, sort of like I think where a person, let's say he himself is machshiv a smaller amount. So remember, we had three shitot in the Mishnah about that. So wait, we'll come to it in a little bit, okay? We'll come to that, I think, in a little bit, and we'll talk
okay.
about it.
Well, wait a minute. Wouldn't the analogy be, just using Michael's example, the one where we learned that if you're engaging in what would be a prohibited activity, but it's not your intent to engage in that activity, but you're doing it for some completely exempt reason, then you're a pater. Wouldn't that be analogous to what he just said?
That's davar shenu miskaven.
They're right. Then davar shenu miskaven is I do an act, and the event may or may not occur. So then
it's like you're pulling the plant out, but you inadvertently cut the rooster.
That's a secretia.
Right. In other words, where if I'm carrying the thing out in a bag, but I have no intent to give it to an animal, which is what Michael is questioning, isn't that analogous to where I am engaging in an activity where if I was feeding an animal, it might be prohibited, but because I have no intention of doing that, it's not prohibited. That's what I'm trying to connect.
Robert's talking about mitasek. Mitasek is what you're doing. Mitasek is you're preoccupied. You don't realize you're doing the act. So like I thought, remember we had in the Gemara, wait, I got to mute everybody who says too much noise. Okay, one second. All right. So we had in the Gemara that I intend to lift up a tomato, which I think is talush, but it's really mechubar. It's really attached to the ground. So then when I lift it up, I'm patur. That's mitase, because I never intended to do the act of cutting. That's the case you're talking about, Robert, right? Robert, is that the case?
I'll give you the example. Remember the one where the guy's pushing the chair across the floor?
All right. Let's go back. That's eino mitkaven.
No, but that's what I'm trying to get. In other words, he's doing an act. But
all right, I got it. Okay, Robert. Anyway, so Robert's talking about Enu Mitkaven. Enu Mitkaven is Gorer Adam Mita Kisei V'Safsal, that a person can pull a bed, a chair, or a bench across the dirt because it may or may not make a charetz, a ditch. Is that the case you're talking about, Robert? Either yes or no.
He's doing it without the intention of creating the furrow.
Right.
In other words, he's doing something that might be prohibited.
I got it.
For that reason. Here you go.
That's the case. Okay. So the idea is he doesn't act. He doesn't know if the ditch will occur or not. That's what it's all about. He doesn't act. He pulls the bed. It may or may not make a ditch. He pulls the chair. It may or may not make a ditch. And then it does make a ditch. So he's not chayev because it's eino mitkaven. You got to remember the terms, Robert, so we can all know what you're talking about and when you refer to it the next time. So eino mitkaven. Okay, eino mitkaven. So that's it. That's not the case here. Here he has something in his pocket. He knows he has it in the pocket. He walks out. So I know or he knows he has it in the pocket, but he forgot it was Shabbos. He forgot that carrying is prohibited. But the question is it the right shear? Has he done the prohibited act for the right shear? Okay, I'm going to move on unless anybody's got anything else. Okay, let's move on. We'll keep moving. Okay, we're on.
Can you just explain when we are mistarif and we're not mistarif?
Yeah, so it means like this. You have. Let's say with the cow food and the. I'll just say cow food and camel food because it just seems simpler. Cow food and camel food. So cow food is a smaller shear. Camel food is a larger shear. So the cow food is viewed as a chumrah, a stringency, because it's a smaller shear. The camel food is viewed as a kula because it's a larger shear. So if I combine the camel food and the cow food. So they can't combine for the stringent shear, but they can combine for the lenient shear. That's all the Gemara was saying. All right? Okay. All right, let's go on. Now, all right, we'll take an Ayin Vav and Beis. Let's take an Ayin Vav and Beis. All right. So now we're at the next Mishnah. Everybody with me? Okay, so now we're up to human food. So, Manitin, Hamotzi Ochlim Kigrogeret Chayav. If a person carries out food the size of a dried fig, he's chayev. He's chayev. That's pretty straightforward. Umitztarfin zemzeh, b'nei sheshav u'shirein. So those shirim can combine. In other words, I take a little bit of this food, a little of that food, a little of the other food, and together it's the size of a grogeret. I'm chayev. Doesn't matter. He says, chutz miklip hatah. Now, when I'm making the evaluation about the shear of a grogeret, so some things are excluded. In other words, it has to be the food item. The non-food item is not included in that cheshbon. Chutz mi klipatan, the klipa could be the shell, you know, maybe the peel. If you don't eat the peel, that would be one type of thing. He says, v'garineim, they're seeds, v'okseim, they're stems, right? V'subanu mor sanan is like the coarse bran and the fine bran. Those you have grain, they have all this bran. So the bran, you don't want the bran. So those things are not included in the cheshbon. Reb Yehuda omer, chutz mi klipei adashim shemipashlodim ahen. The Tana Reb Yehuda says, I agree with the Tanakhama and everything, except when it comes to the shell of lentils, those things are cooked with the lentils. I think that those do count as part of the shear. Okay? All right. All right. One second. Yeah. And the people eat the peels also. They eat the peels as well. Okay, now, we're in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, V'subanu morsan on lo mitztarfin. So he said that the coarse bran and the fine bran are not mitzarif. They don't join for the shear. V'atznan, we learn in the Mishnah, this is the Mishnah Masechet Chala. He says, and again, there's a shear for the chiyuv of Chala. We've had this before, right? There's a shear in order to be chayiv in hafrashat Chala. V'atznan, chameshet rivaim kemach v'od chayivim b'chala. Now, chameshet rivaim is 1 1/4 kav. In other words, 5/4 of a kav, which means 1 kav and 1/4. He says, ve'od, and a little bit more. The word ve'od is not in the Mishnah itself, but we have it here. Od would mean a little bit more than that. They're chayav mechala, hein v'subanu mur sanan. So when it comes to the shear for frashat chala, there we do include the bran. And here for hotzan shabbos, we don't include the bran. So that's the issue. So the Gemara is bothered. How come when it comes to Hotzah, I say skip the brand? But when it comes to the shear for Hafrashat Chala, we include the brand. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Shkein Ani Ochel Pito B'Isa Blusa. A poor person will eat his dough with Isa Blusa, with the brand mixed in. Let's look at the Rashi on this. Blusa is five lines from the end of the Perek and the Rashi. Belusa mu'urevet b'subanav u'morsana, mixed in with all the bran. Hilkach lechem ha'aretz karina bay. So it's called lechem ha'aretz. That's what the Chumash refers to. It's lechem ha'aretz. He says u'miu le'inyan Shabbat midi the chashiv ba'inan. But for Shabbos, I need something like important, significant. U'stamayu dahani lab ochel ninu. And the normal way of looking at it is not to view it as food. So the community standards are it's not food. But, you know, when it comes to freshness challah, we would call lechem ha'aretz because there are some people, particularly the poor person, would eat the dough with the bran. All right. Now, let me just do wait 3 lines. Let me finish the perek, then we'll get it. Okay? Now,
that's whole wheat.
I don't know if it's whole wheat or not, but it's with the bran. I know in like they have like what is a cereal Kellogg's has. What is it? It's all bran or something like that. All right, now, okay, now the Rabbi Yehuda Omer chutz miklipi adashim amipashlodi mahen. Rabbi Yehuda says, except for the lentils, and they have like husks or shell, they said shells in the art school. But it means like a husk that are cooked together with lentils and are eaten as well. So Rabbi Yehuda says there. He thinks that that should include as part of the shear. So the Gemara says, Adashimin pulin lo. So it seems to be that he only holds that sheet to buy lentils, not buy beans. He says, Vahatanya, but in the Braisa we learn, Reb Yehuda Omer, chutz miklipe pulin vahadashim. Reb Yehuda says, except for the shells or the husk of beans and lentils. So I have 2 statements of the Tana Reb Yehuda, one in our Mishnah, one in the Braisa. In the Mishnah, he's saying that the exception is only for the lentils, and the Braisa, he says exception is for the lentils and for the beans, meaning they each have like a type of husk around them. And in the Mishnah, he says that the husk around the lentils is included in the shear, and the Braisa, he says the husk about the lentils and the beans. So this is lo kasha. The Gemara says no contradiction between those two. Habachadati habatike. In the Braisa, he's talking about very fresh beans. So fresh beans, the husk on the bean is edible. He says habachadati habatike. Atike mai tamalo. Why is it with the atike we don't include the husk in the shear? He says amri ba mei shenirin kizvuvim bekara. It means people don't eat it, and when you cook it together, it looks like you see like all these like black sort of dots in the stew, whatever. It looks like flies in it. But the point is that people don't eat it when it's not fresh. All right, looks like flies in the plate. All right, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did in this Gemara? Anybody?
We make the bracha hamotzi lechem min haaretz.
Right. What's the question? Yeah.
The whole thing is the we make the bracha hamotzi lechem min haaretz. That's the lashon calling for this bran is right lechem haaretz. I'm saying, but we say we make the bracha on bread. It's that's the term we use. Lechem yeah.
All right. So was there a kash on that?
Well, my point is that it's we consider it food if we're making a bracha on it.
Yeah.
For that term.
Well, again, I don't know if the two terms are synonymous. One is lechem haaretz. One is motzi lechem min haaretz. Oh. I don't know if those two terms are quite synonymous. Lechem haaretz means bread of the land. And the Gemara applies that to even like this inferior type of dough that the Ani eats from. Motzi lechem min ha'aretz, he brings forth bread from the land. So I don't know if those two are synonymous, but let me leave it at that. All right. Now, one thing that came up last night was about mefarek with milking the cow. So milking the cow is definitely mefarek. There's no question. If you milk the cow on Shabbos, you're chayav for an av malacha mefarek. The issue is that the post can get into the issue. The cow, if you have a cow, if you have a Jewish farmer and he's got a cow, so the cows are in pain when they're not milked. So you have like sort of tsar balei chayim. So the best way the post can bring down is you have a non-Jew who'll milk the cows on Shabbos. So I'll just read from Shmirat Shabbat Kilkata a little bit on this, and then we'll go back to the Gemara. Let me see. He says, you can't milk a cow. I'm doing translation here, but you can't milk a cow on Shabbos. And he says, even if I milk it where the milk goes straight into the food, I assume he means because dash is extracting the food from the non-food. Here the food is going directly into the food. Even that's prohibited. He says, V'tiru lach lo v'di nachri, they permitted a Jew to have a non-Jew milk the cows on Shabbos, mishum tsa'ar balei chayim, because of the a pain of the animal. And that's the best way to avoid a chilul Shabbos. And then if there's no non-Jew around, then the Shmir Shabbat says, Yachlov le'ibud. He should milk it in a way that the milk is destroyed. The hainu sheyachlov le'toch klima'us. He'll milk it into some disgusting keli where you would never drink or milk. He says, Shachalov lo yehe ra'ui l'shtia. O le'toch kli sheish bo neft. Or a kli that has neft. Neft, naphtha, I don't think it means like gasoline. That's what I was saying to you last night. He says, Shucham erev Shabbat, that was set up before, on Friday. O yachlov le'aris. Well, milk and it'll go on the ground. He says, "Avalo yachlov l'toch kli." He shouldn't milk into a Jewish person. Shouldn't milk a cow into a bucket. He says, "Gamim da'at l'shpoch et chalav lachar mikin li." But even if he intends to pour it out, he shouldn't do that. And the and then he goes on. He talks about like with the electric, and so that's what Robert, that's what Eddie was saying. Like in Eretz Yisrael today, my understanding is that's what they have on these religious kibbutzim. They have all the electric equipment that goes on automatically, and that's the cow gets milk. Okay, everybody good with that so far? All right.
Are you allowed to drink, is milk that is obtained on Shabbos kosher to drink?
No, you should not have milk that was obtained on Shabbos.
No, no, I'm talking about if I go to the store.
That's, again, that gets into the issue of Maasei Shabbos, where somebody has produced something in violation of Shabbos. First of all, in this country, we assume that it's all non-Jews who are milking the cows. So even if they would milk it on Shabbos, so the non-Jew does not do any transgression when he milks his own cow on Shabbos. So, but the only issue would be if a Jew milked the cow on Shabbos.
Right. So in other words, if there was an OU on your container, you have to assume that a non-Jew milked the cow on Shabbos?
You could reasonably assume that you don't have to worry about drinking the milk. That's what you could assume. Again, the OU, just 1 minute, Aaron Moshe, okay? Just give me 1 second. Okay. And the OU is different than Chalav Yisrael. Just remember that. Chalav Yisrael means like there's a Jewish mashgiach who's there when the milking is taking place. So if you see an OU on a container, it does not mean it's Chalav Yisrael, but it means there is no like non-kosher ingredients in the milk, and the milk is otherwise permissible to be eaten, but it's not Chalav Yisrael. Okay, what did you want to say, Aaron Moshe? Now do it. Aaron Moshe, unmute yourself. Aaron Moshe, you got it.
What I wanted to say is as a...
Aaron Moshe, I can't hear you. Go ahead, try again.
I said as a child, I was on a farm for many years during the summer. I actually milked cows. In the old days where you sat down on the stool and you actually milked the cow. Eventually that barn became a Chalav Yisrael place and you press a button and the machine goes directly up on the udders and milks the cow. And by the way, when you chase cows into a barn, it's interesting. We had 100 cows there. They all go to their Makom Kavua. Each cow goes on his own to his Makom Kavua. And by the way, they don't talk to each other. That's another thing. I don't know.
All right. So is that a mashal for the Balabatim in a shul? Something about cows?
Kenzine.
Are they practicing socially distancing themselves now?
Yeah.
It's Tzon Kedoshim.
And then
by the way, the Chol of Yisrael, the Mashgiach stands there, does absolutely nothing today. By Chol of Yisrael, he stands there. It goes automatically. When they get the milk in the vats, he closes each vat, and each vat goes on a truck. Then the truck gets closed with a tape, and when it comes to the pasteurizing place, the other guy stands there. The other mashgiach stands there and takes it out. But they do absolutely nothing.
All right. All right, let's move on to the next. So, Hadron Lachlal Gadol Yashkoch, to all of you, you completed another perek in Shabbos, the seventh perek. All right, now we're up to the eighth perek, Hamotzi Yayin. Now, Shabbos, you know, has 24 prakim, and there's a minhag to do 8 prakim, one on Friday night, one Shabbos morning, one Shabbos afternoon. So, 8, 8, 8. So, you chazer all the Mishnayot of Shabbos every Shabbos. So, we're almost through the eighth perek, which would be Friday night version. So now we're still with Hotzah. Hamotzi Yayin, Kedei Mizigar HaKos. Now, Grogeret is for solid foods. Now we're up to liquid foods. So the Tana Mishnah says, Hamotzi yayin kedei mizigat hakos. If a person carries on Shabbos enough wine, enough wine that I could dilute it and make it into a full cup. And we'll see what cup we're talking about. But it means, obviously, a certain amount of water is added to it. So if I take the wine, I have enough wine that when I would add the water to it, it would be a full cup. Then I'm chayav for hotzan Shabbos. He says, chalav, which is milk, kidei gemiyah, for one gulp of milk, then I'm chayav for hotzah. Divash, kidei litein ala katit. If I, honey, the shear for honey, is enough to apply to katit, is some type of wound, but we'll see. Let's look at the Rashi, the fourth line of Rashi, katit. Shebegabe yasusima gamalim. Rashi says it's on the back of the horses, on the camels, machman amasaot, because they carry loaves, rudis balaz, bahachi amar, bahamafkid baba mitzia, tivash, behidbish to my chazi, lekituta de gamalim. He says, like, the honey is good, like, to it sounds like a blister, you apply to it. Aval, Rabotai Pirshu, my Rebbeim explained, Katit Maka, Shal Gaba Yad, Shal Gaba Regel. Rashi says that's the pshat, but my Rebbeim explained it means a human has an abrasion on the back of his hand, the back of his foot, so he'll apply honey to it. Anyway, that's the shear for the honey. Let's see back in the Gemara, the Mishnah. Shemen Kilasuk Eber Katan. Oil enough to anoint a small aver. So the Gemara is going to ask, we don't know this yet, this will be on Shabbos' daf, and just remember that we have daf yomi on Sunday morning, 8 o'clock is Sunday's daf, 10 o'clock Shabbos' daf, and there's also Parsha Shavuot tomorrow at 1 o'clock, everybody's cordially invited. So the Gemara is going to explain, means a child, if you have a one-day-old child, and he has like one joint of his pinky, that would be the amount of oil required for that, is the amount to be chayav for hotzah. He says, mayim kidei lashuf bahem et akilur. Water enough to create kilur is like an eye salve. So, in other words, he's going to create this into a paste, but if I take out enough water on Shabbos for this eye salve, it doesn't sound like a lot of water, then that's enough for hotzah. He says, ushaar kolamashkim b'reviyat. So all other mashkim, the default for mashkim is revi'at alog, which is the same shear that we have for kiddush, right? That would be the shear. But there's different ways to make the cheshbon. So obviously you want to be machmir here. V'chol ha-shofchim revi'at means like wastewater is also revi'at. And the Gemara is going to ask, why would I use the wastewater? In other words, you have to have something, some cheshivas. So he says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, kulan revi'at. Now, the Tana Rabbi Shimon says, he's cholek. Remember, we had Reb Shimon in the earlier Mishnah. Last night, we had Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon is Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. Remember, Reb Shimon is the one who said that wealthy people have a different shear. Remember, he was like the wealthy people, they have a much larger shear. So here, Reb Shimon says, Kulan B'Reviyat. He's cholik with the Tanakhama. He says that Reviyat is the default shear for Mashkim. V'lo nemru kol shimalalu ela matzniyehem. He says, if a person would save a lesser amount than Revius, so then this is the floor for that. In other words, you can't, according to Tana Reb Shimon, let's say I like to save a very small amount of wine, less than enough to make a cup of wine. So according to Reb Shimon, that's a zero. I don't care if I save it. These are the shiurim for the people, they're makshiv less than the Revius, but this is the floor. We're not going below the floor. So I thought that this related a little bit to what you were talking about before, Robert. You were asking about with the camel food, the other foods, whatever. You said that if a person was makshev an amount that was less than that. So that's a little bit on this topic, that this is a standard amount. But let's say a person, he likes to have the cow food and he saves like a smaller amount than that. I don't know, maybe like not Dafka, the sheet of Reb Shimon, but the earlier Mishnah said that according to the Tana of the Mishnah, that if a person was matzniya an amount like that, he's machshiv a smaller amount, you could have a small shear. Remember, we had a three of machloket. So not like Reb Shimon, but the Tana Kam in the Mishnah, maybe there could be a smaller shear for some of those other ones. Okay, now he says, lo nemru kloshim alalu matzniyan. In other words, for the people who hide, who store those amounts, this is the shear. But you can't go below that shear, according to Reb Shimon. According to the Tana, the earlier Tana of the Mishnah, you could have shear below that. Okay, now the Gemara says, Tana tot nebraisa, kedei mezigat kos yafeh. So meaning in the Mishnah when it says Kedei Mezigah Kos, it means what cup are you talking about? It was enough for a cup. What's a cup? So he says Kos Yafeh, a nice cup. What does that mean? He says Umay Kos Yafeh, Kosho Bracha. Means enough wine to make a kosher bracha, which would be like the cup used for benching, and by analogy, the cup used for kiddush. So that's, in other words, you have the shear for that cup of wine, and this is shear of revius. So if I have enough wine to convert into a revius, that would be otsa. Amrav Nachman, Amrav Vua, kosher bracha, sarshi barova revit, kdeshim zagenu viyamoda al revit. So Rav Nachman says that in Rabbi Vua, the kosher bracha, which is the cup that you use for benching, or by analogy for kiddush, it has to have rova revius. It means revius is the shear. Is like I'm just going to take an amount. It's not exactly like this. Let's assume the shear revius would be 5 fluid ounces. So, or let's say, just for example purposes, let's say 4 fluid ounces. Okay, it's not the shear, but let's say 4 fluid ounces. So the Gemara is saying, of the 4 fluid ounces, 1 ounce has to be the unadulterated wine, and the other 3 fluid ounces will be water, because I'll take the concentrated wine and then dilute it into the 4 fluid ounces. So let's see back in the Gemara now. So the Gemara says, let me get to it. So Rava says, Afanan Nami Tanina. All right, let's shift over to a new article, Gemara. Okay, so he says, 1 minute. Yeah, okay, so Afananami Tanina, he says, look, you could deduce this halacha that Rabbi said that it's going to be a revius from the careful reading of our Mishnah. In the Mishnah we said, Hamotzi Yayin Kedei Mezigat Kos, that if a person takes out wine, enough kedei mezigat kos, enough to dilute it into a kos. B'tani Allah kedei mezigat kos yafeh, and we said that means a kos yafeh, a nice cup, which is kosher bracha. B'katani seifa, and then in the seifa of the Mishnah we learned, u'shar kol mashkim b'reviyat, that all other mashkim are revius. So it's reasonable for us to extrapolate that you need the amount of wine to convert it into a revius. That's what he's saying. In other words, when it says that the wine is enough to do kos yafeh, but it's to convert it into a revius. But Rava Latame, Rava follows his shita. He says, the Amarava, kol chamra delodari al-chad, tlat maya. Rava says, any wine that you don't add, like it should be one part wine, 3 parts water, he says, la chalav chamrahu. That's not considered wine. In other words, that has to be the proportion. It's not good wine if that's not the proportion. Okay. So any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did?
All right. I have a question.
Yeah, what's up?
In the Mishnah that we just read, it seems like the amount of each of the items they discuss is minuscule. It's almost like de minimis. Why wouldn't they have just said you can't carry this out, period?
Okay, again, so the issue is the you can't carry out, period, but the issue is what amount of carrying invokes the obligation to bring a korban chatat or for a chiyuv skila. For a chiyuv skila, skila is stoning if I violate it. That's the issue. So in other words, what's the minimum shear to be mechayev me a chiyuv skila or a chiyuv karet or a chiyuv korban chatat? That's the issue we're dealing with. So we know it has to be a davar chashuv. It's something that has significance. So the question is, what is the amount that's significant for each item? So for default, for the wine, it has to be the amount of wine that would convert into a revius. The other things are smaller, like the honey and the oil is the different amount.
Rabbi?
Let me hear. Did you want to go on, Robert, or not?
No, let Livia go.
Okay, Olivia, why don't the
rabbi factor in the weight of the bottle to carry those liquids?
Yeah. So again, weight is irrelevant in terms of otsah. Weight is irrelevant, right? In other words, it's not a function of weight. We've seen this before, right? So, but it's a function of chashivas.
So the bottles is not important.
Is that what you're asking about? The bottle?
Yes. Well, I, 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 I,
Okay, I didn't understand what you were saying, Livia. The bottle. Okay, so we touched on this earlier. The bottle is considered to be bata. Listen, I need people to mute themselves. Robert, please mute yourself, okay? I can't have other people. Robert, please mute yourself. All right, let me help you out. Let's see. Okay, thank you. All right, so it means the bottle is batel, legabe, the item that you're carrying out. In other words, we consider the item you're carrying out to be the davar chashuv, and the bottle is a tafel to it. So it doesn't enter into the cheshbon. All right, anybody else? All right, now let me just see if we have anything more, and then we'll take it from there. And let me just see here. Let's see a story. Today's daf. Today we were Ayin Vav tonight, right? Let me see Ayin Vav. Today's Thursday, right? One second. Where is this stuff? One minute. Oh, here it is. Is this it? Yeah, I have it. Okay, Ayin Vav. All right, we'll just do a story, and then Michael never likes this, but this is going to be it. All right, so he says the camel feed mispo appears in Bereishis, where Lavan invites Eliezer into the house, offering food for his animals as well as a place to lodge. Rashi there identifies mispo as a generic term for all types of camel food, such as straw and barley. Some have an alternative text in the Rashi, which brings etza, legume husks, as the other example of camel feed. He says, in addition to barley, according to this reading of Rashi, straw is not specifically listed as camel food. Let me see who's going with this. All right. Listen, I'm going to skip this. Okay. I think we're good. Anyway, listen, let me say unmute everybody. Let me first turn off the tape. One second. Let me get the tape stopped. Okay. The tape.